Tonight I wanted to ask a question. What difference would it make if the Christmas story were not true? If God had not come to be born, to live, to die as a human being, what difference would it make? These readings that we've shared this evening from Hebrews and John's Gospel and from the words of the prophet Isaiah shout out that the Christmas story is the key to what the world is all about from beginning to end. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that the incarnation is the climax of God's continuous, creative, communicating love. God's love, the writer to the Hebrews says, is always sun-shaped. Through God the Son, the world comes into being. Through God the Son, the world is sustained in being. And God the Son will bring it to fulfillment when He, the Heir, rounds everything up. All the other ways in which God has chosen to communicate with the world He made and loves are interpreted by this great event that we celebrate at Christmas. The Incarnation tells us that that is what we are here for, to be drawn into dialogue with God, hearing His word and responding to it. The majestic language of these opening sentences in the letter to the Hebrews should not blind us to the reality of the way God chooses to come to us. Hebrews piles up radiance upon radiance. The sun is the reflection of God's glory, the imprint of God's very being. He is no mere messenger, but the actual presence of God. And what does this dazzling reflection of God look like? It looks like a small baby. John's great prologue makes that point perfectly clear. Like the letter to the Hebrews, John's opening scene is the creation of the world through the same power of God that makes the incarnation possible. The Word of God, the Son of God, is the overflowing, incarnating life, the life-making power of God, the Trinity. And our understanding of God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, brings with it the belief that God's very being is relational love, and that that love pours out into the world to bring us, you and me, into God's love. Although the Incarnation is an extraordinary overturning of everything that we thought we may have known about God, both John and the writer to the Hebrews suggest that it is, at the same time, consistent with the very nature of God, the God who chooses to create the world in the first place. But John takes that one stage further. Yes, God is consistent in creating, in becoming incarnate, in redeeming, and part of that consistency is that it does not force a response. John says in his gospel with terrible irony, the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. The way in which God chooses to create and redeem us allows us the option of ignorance about the very purpose of our existence. The Incarnation, which the writer to the Hebrews describes in such grandiloquent terms, still comes down to this: the child in the manger. You have to suspect that sensible is not a word in God's vocabulary. And so here at the beginning of the Gospel of John, John sets out what is to be one of his themes throughout his Gospel. You have to choose. You can turn away from the light and choose the darkness. The darkness that represents not only evil, but also ultimately unbeing. It is the darkness that was over everything before God created. It is formless, hopeless. It's ignorance of the purpose of our existence. That's what darkness is and what darkness does to us. Or you can choose light. To choose the light, according to John, is to step into a proper created place as God's children, alive in His love. God is the only source of life. And John tells us this and tells us that this life is offered to us in the incarnation. But the choice is ours. What we see now is the child, a symbol of life, but so vulnerable. To choose that life, to choose to nurture it and celebrate it as God's kind of life, is to choose the life of God Himself, since it's the only kind of life on offer. To choose something without the ambiguities and uncertainties of Jesus' life is to choose the dark. And that, says John, is actually not life at all. To recognize the life-giving power of the Creator in the baby Jesus, in His life, in His cross and His resurrection, is the study of the Christian life. Can we see the glory of the Father here at Christmas? When the Old Testament prophet Isaiah was doing his prophesying, he was anticipating the coming of one who would come in triumph. I wonder what Isaiah would have made of what really happened. Would he have recognized the baby as the triumphant act of God that he longed for? In the incarnation, God does indeed bear His arm, but not to lead His armies to victory, but to show us the flesh. Isaiah proclaims the time when God will be in plain sight. And indeed, what could be more visible than another human being just like us? What kind of victory is this? Well, it's the victory of God's consistent and unchanging nature, something that cannot be deflected from its original purpose, which is to share His life and no second-hand trumped-up copy, to share His life with us. If Christmas is anything, it's all about the baby Jesus who was born to be the Saviour of mankind. Amid all that Christmas may hold for you the rest of this night and tomorrow, don't forget that Christmas is His story.